Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast and Network. I am your host, Jeff Malinoff. We have things to talk about in the world of baseball today. Most notably, we are so darn close to Bryce Harper signing with someone, because apparently it's Friday is when he's going to make his decision. That is what the reports are saying. And with that, I say thank God this is almost over. And when I say that, I mean more along the lines of this is getting ridiculous. Like, absolutely ridiculous, because of the fact this is taking so long. I understand why he's doing it, to get more and more money. I get that. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But when I look at this whole ordeal, I think of this as more of a just bidding war. It's obviously a bidding war, but is there a limit to like what the bidding is going to lead to? And how I look at this is quite simply, we're finally going to get an answer, because he's finally going to settle for a contract in like the $300 million range. He wanted like something around $400 million. I think that was expected. But the fact of the matter is, he's not going to get that. He's probably going to settle for in the $300 million range. I know there was a contract. I forget who it was to, or what team it was exactly, but I believe the contract was in the $170 range, which seems extremely low I think, honestly, he should be thanking Manny Machado, because if it wasn't for him, he wouldn't be getting somewhere near $300 million at the moment. He'd probably be settling for $250 or $150, because that's kind of what the range of the contracts he was getting offered, at least. But the thing is with Bryce Harper is there seem to be three teams standing left to give him a shot at getting him. Philadelphia Phillies, who've been a contender, quote-unquote, since he first was a free agent, basically, because of how much money they have and all this availability in the room, they ever signed a big deal, and it just seemed like it was a done deal. Like, they had a chance to get both Machado and Harper, some said, because of the money they had. Which makes sense, because of, like, they had tons of money. But obviously, they missed out on Machado, so did the White Sox. So now, the three teams are down to the Phillies, the Giants, and the Dodgers. But it sounds like Bryce Harper wants to go to the Dodgers. That's what everyone is saying. And when it comes down to it, I really don't know where he's going. It sounds like if he wanted to go to the Phillies, he would have signed with them by now. That's what I feel like would have already happened. It sounds like he doesn't want to go to Philadelphia. Is it the Philadelphia area he doesn't want to go to? Is it the marketing area he doesn't want to go to? Because obviously the other two in California, San Francisco is a big market, as well as LA is the biggest of the three. But when you're looking at market in general, Philadelphia is the lowest one. And when you're looking at that, I have to say LA is probably the most flattering one, or maybe the most tempting one. I get that because of the fact they did trade Puig and Kemp to the Reds. It seemed like they did that just to have room for Bryce Harper to come in. And if Bryce Harper doesn't come in, I feel like that's an abject failure on the Dodgers' part to getting rid of Puig and Kemp. Because Puig was arguably the face of that team for this run. Them, him and Clayton Kershaw, of course. But, of course, two back-to-back World Series appearances and two losses in the World Series, one to Houston and one to the Red Sox. Arguably the Red Sox were one of the best teams ever assembled with their 108 wins, of course. And then you look at more along the lines of the Houston Astros, who had a pretty great season themselves. So it's not like they faced fluke teams getting there, you know what I mean? If they face really talented teams. And with Harper, they could get over that hump into a World Series victory. But are they going to offer him enough for him to actually sign? These are all the questions that remain unanswered at this time because of the fact that the Phillies are still involved. They probably are offering the most money. If I had to guess right now who's offering the most money, it's probably the Phillies. But when it comes down to it, he says the decision most likely will be made by Friday. I hope to God that's true because we already are in spring training. These teams are already assembled basically in their spring training rosters. And so all we're waiting on is him. We're all anticipating this final countdown, if you will. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Awesome song by Europe. And with that, I still don't like the fact that Mark doesn't like that song. It's frustrating. Anyways, moving on. With all of this going down, I think if the Phillies were going to get Bryce Harper, it would already happen. So honestly, if I had to make a choice between one of the three teams, between the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Phillies, of who's least likely going to grab Bryce Harper, I'm already taking the Phillies out of it. So I think what Harper is doing is he's deciding between the Giants and the Dodgers. And so when you're looking at both, let's just look at both teams right now. You're looking at both teams, they could probably pay him the same amount of money when you're looking at the Giants and Dodgers. And then you're looking at the success of both teams. And what I mean by that is both teams have been to the World Series in the last, let's see, since 2010. The Giants have won 3 World Series. And also since 2010, the Dodgers have been in 2 World Series themselves, but have lost both of them. So with that being said, it's hard to look at it and see that it's going to be about the success of the team. Because honestly, yes, the Giants are looking on a downhill slump at the moment. They have not made the playoffs since 2016. And that's the scenario going in right now. But you're looking at the Dodgers, and they can't get over that hump in the World Series. They can't seem to get over that hump. And with that, I do say, more along the lines of it, the Giants may be the ones that seal the deal. But again, there are talks about him, Bryce Harper, that I mean, being more fit, or wanting at least, to go to the LA area and go to the Dodgers. So with that, it's really hard to really look at it and go, okay, this is the team that's going to get him. This seems like a destined thing. But I don't know. It's really hard to say going with those three teams. Because you're looking also at the Phillies. If you look at the Phillies' success as well, they won a World Series in 2008. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays. People don't really remember that. Of course, it was 11 years ago. But you're also looking at the other side of the coin, if you will. All these teams have success. All these teams have the ability to make great success in the future. These guys can win, get into the playoffs. They've already proven that before. Maybe the Giants have more work than the others have to do right now. But I do want to say, when it comes down to it, it just seems like the Dodgers are going to be running away with this. I could be absolutely wrong. But it seems right now that it's coming down to, one, the Dodgers, two, the Giants, and then last opportunity-wise is the Phillies. So I really don't know what to make of this whole scenario, if you will. Maybe scenario is not the right word. Of this whole drama. Yeah, that's probably what it is. Drama. Like, this is basically, I don't really know how else to explain this. This could be a movie. This basically, this whole situation can be turned into a movie based on how long it is. Like, you know, LeBron's The Decision? Like, this is what it is in baseball terms. Like, what Mark has said in the past, like, they should just make this into a massive The Decision type of thing. I am starting to agree with him. I kind of agree with him at first, and I was kind of hesitant about it, but, like, you know what? How else are we going to get over this? How else is this going to get done? If we just make it into a big, humongous thing, make it a primetime ESPN event, get a couple million, get like 25 to 30 million people watching it, and then have him make his decision so we don't have to deal with this anymore. Because I'm getting so tired of waiting. I understand patience is a virtue, but enough's enough, you know? Like, come on. Like, if you're waiting for, let's say, okay, how about this? A girl you like, you just asked out. And she says, let me think about it. Of course, you hope she said yes at first, but she's like, I have to look at my schedule. We'll figure this out another time. Then days go by. You're like, okay, you can say no, it's fine, blah, 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 whatever. I don't know how the scenario would go. But she'd be like, no, I'm actually considering it. Please let me think about it. We can talk about this, and you can pitch me an idea of a date. Then you pitch her an idea of a date. She's like, that sounds pretty good. Let me talk to this other guy that asked me out, and I can see what he wants to do. So then you go, okay, sure. I can't stop you. And then they're talking. And so you're like, okay, I got to offer something better. And then you're like, okay, well, this just happened. It's just, this is like a high school drama, basically. It's like, Bryce likes Hillary, but also there's this chick named Ashley who's really cute. And she's kind of, she's not as popular or is not as family wealthy as Hillary. But she's really cool and they get along fine. And then there's this other chick that comes out of nowhere named Beth. And she's super cute. And she has money as well. But she has commitment issues. But she's willing to try it with you to get over the hump. So, and then now Bryce has to make a decision. Who does he want to get together with? We don't know. We honestly don't know how all this is going to go down. And with that, I say, time to make a decision. Time to just decide and make a choice. Because I've recorded the finale of the show, the drama show. I'm ready for the decision to be made. Make up your darn mind. That's all I'm going to say about the Bryce Harper matter. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll be talking about how baseball has another massive extensive contract for somebody, which could affect Bryce Harper. And maybe this actually brings the question is, does he deserve an X amount of money? I said I'll stop talking about it, but this actually, contract extension would probably lead to more conversation about Bryce Harper because that's all we're leading to about baseball right now. So we'll come back right after this.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We have a new signing, or an extension, but it's not for Bryce Harper, unfortunately. The Colorado Rockies' Arenado has signed an eight-year, their third baseman, who's hit 40 home runs last couple of seasons, has had over 30 home runs last couple of seasons. Well, but the third base power hitter has signed an eight-year, $260 million extension. What the actual what? But I was thinking about this, like, yes, he's hit 40 home runs. He's been a big power hitter. He's been unknown in the world of baseball, all things considered, when you talk about power hitters. So I was thinking to myself, why sign this guy to such an extensive contract, such a massive contract, too, $260 million, where he may not have been as highly touted as the others? And I say this, I could be wrong on his, like, how hyped he was for other teams if he was becoming a free agent, blah, 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 blah. But it all comes down to one thing. When you get someone on your team with that kind of talent and you are a small budget team, a small market team like Colorado, you got to keep your homegrown guys as best you possibly can. And what I mean by that is, like, when it comes down to free agency, if he was in free agency, you probably couldn't compare him. You probably couldn't afford that kind of his services as much as other teams could. So take advantage as much as you can. And so with that, I say they probably did the right thing here. If they really wanted this guy, they thought he could be a huge help to the team. They were in the playoffs. It's just like they're not like gone or anything, then it's probably the right move in the long run. So what I say about that is just we're all on the lines of, you know, you're not going to get a guy like this on your team through just free agency, so take advantage of the opportunity. You know, I think that's just where it comes down, where it just leads to in the long run. And it makes sense. Because, like, it's just a smart decision because you're not going to, like I just said over and over again, you're not going to get this guy in free agency. You're not going to get this guy, like, that type of caliber of a hitter. So that's how I see it, at least. And with that, I go with, you know, the Colorado Rockies did what they had to do. They had to keep their big hitter. They had to keep all that good stuff. So, you know, good on them. That's just the bottom line. And with them being in the playoffs very recently, it's not like you're signing this guy just to have this guy. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about playoffs is what I meant. Because it's a possibility that you can make the playoffs again. You have a talented team. And yeah, it might be hard to compete in this very difficult NL West with the addition of Manny Machado to San Diego, who might put them into a playoff position. But the bottom line is you're continuing to compete. You're continuing to be in a championship. You're trying to continue to be in a championship. So with that, I say, you know, push for it. You know, you can't do well in the free agent market, just do well with your own. You got to nail it in the draft. You got to nail it in your prospects. You got to nail it in the minor leagues. Like, got to make sure you got some potential there to call up and make sure they could contribute. Because Colorado is not the place where everyone's going to go, I want to play there. Because if guys go around, I want to play there, that's a huge market. I can do a lot with this. New York and LA. You can even put Boston up there. You can put, I think those are the only three teams that are, like, market-wise look good. The Dodgers. You can even put Anaheim possibly in there. You can put definitely 100% the Yankees in there. And you can definitely put the Red Sox in there, just on contender-based purposes. So, with that, it's, I'll say definitely they, the, with the, going back to the Rockies at least, what I have to say is they're definitely looking at a chance to push for a championship, or push at least for a deep playoff run. Because, I mean, they made the playoffs, they are able to do that. They have the ability to. Because, like, with baseball, if you're hot at the end of the year, you have an excellent chance. And with that, I mean, an excellent chance to just, like, there's been so many teams that barely make the playoffs but start off so good. Like, they are so hot when it comes down to October, they win the championship. I mean, it just happens. So it's not about who's the best team. It's honestly, when it comes down to baseball, it's who has the best momentum. And I truly believe that. So with that, I do say more along lines of it's a very interesting choice to give him $260 million, no doubt about it. But, you know, it might be the right move. It might be the move that gets them into, once again, a playoff spot. Because of the facts, like, they're not, like I said, I'm like a broken record, but they can't just get these players off the free agent market because they're not a market of interest. And so, again, the teams like that, teams like Milwaukee or teams like, I don't know, Kansas City, they need to nail it in the farm system. They need to name it in the prospects because they're not going to attract people in the free agent market to join their team unless they're kind of like mediocre or a little bit above mediocre. They're not going to look at the best players in the league. They're not going to attract those kind of players. So it's always been prospects for these type of players, except for like the Yankees, the Dodgers, maybe the Giants, maybe the Angels. And we'll see how that in Boston as well. I won't say maybe, definitely Boston. So definitely an opportunity there for them. But regardless, farm system is so crucial in baseball that you get a guy like that coming off your farms. I'm assuming he came off the farm system. I could be wrong, but he definitely came of his own in Colorado. So he definitely took advantage of that situation. So he did the right, they've done the right thing by keeping their homegrown guy. And with that, like, you're looking at a very slow end to a slow off season. And we've had way more than players complain about the free agent market and how it's broken compared to actual signings and actual big signings and so on and so forth. So I really am disappointed by how the offseason works in, I think everyone does, obviously, in the offseason for baseball. And I know you can try to change it with some of the big signings, but overall, like, it's very frustrating overall to look at the facts that the free agent market's broken in baseball. Not enough signings, not any excitement whatsoever at all. Everything's sort of boring. So what does baseball need to do? What does the commissioner need to do to fix this mess? It's a mess. That's basically what it is. Bottom line is, free agency is a mess. And I don't know how you change it to make it better. Well, there are obviously ideas to make it better, but bottom line, it's going to take a lot of work. A lot of work, and it's obviously not going to happen over time. And with that, it's just a very difficult situation. Well, not a difficult situation. You're stuck in a rock and a hard place if you are part of the front office in the Major League Baseball organization. Because it's hard. It's definitely, definitely hard to get these kind of if MLB can try to do like NFL type signings and NBA type signings where everyone's on their toes, ready to at any point see a big signing and talk about it, then they should. Because when we do the shows for football and basketball, the offseason's not as slow as it is for baseball for the podcasts. That's just the honest truth. And I say that because, like, when you're looking at the NFL offseason, as soon as March 13 hits, it's going to be bang, 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 signing, signing, signings, trades, so on and so forth. And then baseball has the disadvantage of having the MLB draft not as highly touted because they have to start in their rookie system and then move up, if they are good enough, then move up to their minor league system. Like, there's a rookie system, then there's minor league system, then it's the majors. Like, there's so much work to get actually to the majors that some of these signings don't really matter because you'll never see them play. So that's the only issues mainly with baseball, is their offseason is so slow and so unproductive that we can't actually talk about anything. We just got to talk about the what-if scenarios, of course, and that's with Bryce Harper at the top of the list. Like, this is one of the most talented there's never been two superstar caliber players this eligible in free agency like this before, where that's the only two everyone's talking about. And that's been since November. And since November, only one of them has signed, and that was only like a week or two ago. And so that's like 4 months of nothing. 4 months of just rumors. 4 months of uncertainty. 4 months of make up your mind already. 4 months of I'm tired of waiting for this. And for one player, it's over. He's with San Diego now. But the other player, it's still going. We're still waiting. We're still frustrated. We're still impatient. Like, there's the difference between patience is a virtue, and patience is like you're now taking advantage of my patience. And it just feels like this whole scenario that Bryce Harper is being, us as fans are being taken advantage of our patience of this huge monumental decision, and we might just be disappointed at the end of it. I'm not entirely sure, but regardless, hopefully the rumors are true and they say by Friday he will make his decision. So Friday might be just Bryce Harper Day. Just make it a holiday, you know, just so we can finally see what decision he makes. But I digress. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Major League Baseball and their trying to dispute with their labor, trying to make the relationship with the labor union better. We'll be right on that when we return.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast, and we're just finishing up the talk about money and the Arenado signing from the Colorado Rockies, as well as the Bryce Harper situation. Now we're going to move on to a little more kind of a serious matter. Maybe not as serious, but regardless, the MLB has said they would postpone They said they were going to postpone the pitch clock until 2022. Now, the pitch clock was a good idea to me and to Mark, and just to make the game go by quicker. I understand why they tried to do it. It makes sense. But I think the bottom line is they are worried about a strike, it sounds like, if they're postponing this. And they just want to be on the good side of the MLB labor union. And, I mean, I think we've had more strikes in baseball than any other league. Maybe the NHL. The NBA, not so much. The NFL is very sporadic. I think it was like the not as serious. Baseball actually had to suspend a World Series 1 year, costing the Montreal Expos a World Series, honestly, because they were the best record in baseball, if I'm not mistaken. That was in 1994. The World Series was not played that year because of a strike. So I don't think any other the Stanley Cup actually had a time in the NHL where they had to suspend a season. I think it was the early 2000s. Maybe it was also 1994 that the Stanley Cup was not awarded. The Stanley Cup was not played because of the strike. So with that, no, it wasn't 1994. That was the Rangers. Never mind. But I do remember there was a year where there was not a Stanley Cup winner or a World Series winner at 1 year. 1 year in 1984, that was the year for baseball not to have a World Series. So it's happened before in where a team a strike leads to no winner. Just nothing. 2005 was when the season was canceled by the lockout for hockey. 1994 was for baseball. So it's happened before where a strike happens and it gets so bad they don't even play a season, or they cancel the season or so on and so forth. So it's definitely a factor, and that's why like this olive branch for giving, like say, hey, we won't do this whole pitch clock thing if you don't want us to do it. We can talk about this another time. Let's just get on the same page here. And it seemed like it might work. I'm not sure exactly how this is all going to go down, but to me, I'm in the sense of like, oh, they're just trying to do their best to work everything out. And it's going to be tough overall to really see how this is going to turn out because of the fact that strikes in baseball are like very common every like 10 years. It feels like to me at least. But we're like, I hate to say it's like we're due for one because this is usually how things go down. So with that, I say, you know, I won't say expect a strike, but don't be surprised if there is one. But I think this move to suspend abandon the idea of a pitch clock until later, at a later date for a couple of years, and saying, hey, this is just for us to get on good terms. Right, guys? Right, buddies? Good buddy, old pals? Is going to help in the long run. But again, if you see this leading to a strike yet again, or a lockout, or whatever you want to call it, then don't be surprised. That's all I'm going to say, and I really don't think it's going to put a huge damper on the sea. I don't think it's going to go to the point where they're just going to cancel the World Series. I don't think that's going to reach a point to that matter, but I do say just be patient and be ready just in case this does happen, because it's totally, totally, totally could. It's one of those things where you're just looking and just like, yep, this is all just inevitable. It's just kind of how it is in professional sports nowadays. It's just this inevitable waiting of just something bad to happen, or a strike to happen, or a dispute to happen, basically. That's just how I see it, at least. But moving on from that, we are in the midst of the spring training season, if you will. And with that, we had some games. We've already had some games and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's basically, it is an extremely long preseason. A whole season, basically, of a preseason. But there's already been some like crazy scores that I've seen, like 14-4, the Tigers beat the Mets, or like what was another one I saw was crazy, like 17-5, Angels over the A's. Like they score, like if you look at the box score, they scored 7 runs in the eighth inning alone, and then scored 4 in the ninth and in the fourth inning. So it's just like that's not very fair. It's not very fun. Obviously, it was like all Angels. I mean, this did score 5 runs for the A's, but 17 runs is absurd. And then you get the classic like 3-1, 1-2. You know, like those kind of. But I think the main thing about the spring training that people forget is you can tie. Like, yesterday on Monday, the White Sox and Giants tied at 4 at the end of the game. Like, there's no extra innings because, of course, it's preseason and it really doesn't matter. You don't really need to go 17 innings to find a winner in the preseason. Because let's just be honest, that's exactly what spring training is. It's, well, training. I mean, it says it right in the title. Can't really explain it other better than that. So, with that, the spring training is just beginning. We got a long ways to go. This whole month is spring training. Oh, a little bit longer than a month. It's a long period of time. It's a very, very long period of time. And honestly, how long spring training is and how long the regular season is, 162 games, these guys must be exhausted going to like the first game of the season, all things considered. I know they get some time off before the first game. Some do, some don't. But man, it gets like, it's got to be exhausting. I mean, 162 games is exhausting enough. I know it's just baseball and there's not a lot of, there's not constant moving, not a constant, you know what I mean? Not a constant moving, not a constant stuff happening. But with that, I say more along the lines of just, when it comes to resting players, like, you know, the NBA is kind of on being on top of that. They're cheating the players. This when you're resting players in a 162-game season, that makes a lot more sense. That's more understandable because there's only a very few people that can actually do that, go to 162 games in a season, because that's, again, a lot of games, a lot of time traveling. Like, and it hurts. Your body can only take so much. And so with that, I say that's why when it comes to 162 games, it's understandably very slow. And I think that's one of the reasons why baseball is also at the point where it's at, due to the fact that, like, everyone's kind of tired. It's getting lower on the popularity poll, if you will. Basketball's above it. Football's above it. And it's just considered one of the most boring sports. Like, when people say, oh, that's so boring, they're mainly thinking about baseball. Some say soccer. All depends on your perspective, of course, but regardless, it's just, you got to give baseball, just once it hits playoff, then it gets more fun to watch. But the 162 game, the grunt work in between that time in the regular season is just a drag, to be honest with you. But we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we will finish up the day with my prediction of who's actually going to sign Bryce Harper, as well as I'm going to do a way too early prediction of who's going to win each division. And we'll be right on that when we return.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. Let's do our predictions for way too early predictions for the Bryce Harper. Well, not way for Bryce Harper, but way too early predictions for the division winners for each division in the MLB, as well as my take on Bryce Harper and where he will end up. So we'll start with Bryce Harper. Now, I've thought about this a lot, and I thought the Phillies were a shoe-in for that, and I thought about some of the things of that nature. But, you know, L.A. being the favorites, I think it's going to be L.A. I know that's generic in ways, but I think Harper wants to go to a much bigger market, and I think L.A. is going to be that market, and he's going to sign there. I'm not sure for how much. It might be for under $300 million. Might be for more. But I think they're not going to let Puig and the Kemp trade be for nothing. I think they're going to try to break the bank for Bryce Harper, and he's going to sign to them by Friday. I really do. I truly believe that. And now as for the divisions, we got some interesting ones for sure. And this is like despite what's happening in certain aspects. In certain like free agent markets, I mean. We'll start with the American League. American League East, it's going to be down between the Red Sox and Yankees. And with how good the Red Sox did last season, I'm going to say that Yankees are going to turn around and steal the division. They're going to steal it by at least two games. I think it's going to be a two or three game break in between them two. They'll both make the playoffs, but I think the Yankees will win the division. As for the Central, Indians, I don't think there's any question about that compared to the other teams in the Central, one of the weakest, probably the weakest division in the league. As for the AL West, I'm torn with, I think I got with the Astros again. They kept a lot of their players. They're still deep. Great power hitters there. I got to go with the Astros. As for the NL East, if Harper goes to the Phillies, I'll give the East to the Phillies. But I think I might have to go with the Mets. I'm going to go unorthodox and go with the Mets. You got to go unorthodox in some of these situations. Because they surprised us in 2015 by reaching the World Series, so anything's possible, really. As for the NL Central, between the Reds, Pirates, Cubs, Cardinals, and Brewers, I'm saying the Brewers take the division. They went to the NLCS last year. They kept a lot of the same guys. I think they're going to come back even stronger. And they're going to take this division. And if I had to see someone who they take it from, in theory, I think they take it from the Cubs. So that's how my take on the NL Central. And now for the NL West, which is probably the most interesting one so far. Because two teams in the NL West are fighting for Bryce Harper, the Giants and the Dodgers, and one of them, and the Padres landed Manny Machado. So, if the Dodgers get Harper, they're back in the NL West winner. If the Giants get it, I don't see them taking the NL West still. They still need a lot of holes somewhere else. So, how I see this is the Dodgers still remain the winners of the NL West. And if all goes right with Manny Machado, the Padres will steal a wild card spot. That's my honest take on it. And I think that will be it for the rest of the day. Thank you so much for joining me today. Please tune us in next week on Wednesday for our baseball podcast, as we will know who exactly actually has Bryce Harper on their team, maybe. Like a 90% chance of that actually happening, so I'm actually excited for that. But as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.